for KRDU 1130. I'm Ken, and you are?
I'm Kim.
You're Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Ken.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good, good.
I'm good today.
We're doing another one of these ones where I throw you in next to our guest of honor in the interview room, and you're in close quarters right now with Mr. Josh Brom.
I'm a guest. Guest of honor.
The
you
guest
are.
Of honor. Well, so that's because we hardly ever see you down here
I
in Dinuba.
I like that.
Yeah. You are you're the director of education and sometimes public relations for Right to Life of Central California, based in Fresno.
This is me doing my once a year public relations thing.
That's right. You said you got an intern that's handling a lot of that for you.
She's
now.
Handling a lot of that stuff. Yeah, it's really nice having someone who's doing all of our editing and she runs a steady cam for that show we're going to talk about. And it's really nice having. And you've got an assistant now too.
Kim got here at the beginning of November and she's just taken the place by storm. I mean, she connects with people requesting interviews. She talks to the PR people. She requests the books. She reads the books. So she comes in knowledgeably when it's time to do an interview. I just have to sit here and basically take a nap.
It's good times.
No. Right, Kim?
Good times.
Good times.
Well, the more the merrier is how it goes.
There you go. Was it about a year ago you were down here, Josh?
Something like that.
Yeah, and we talked about your podcast, which I guess is still going great guns. Tell us about that. Now, did you say initially somebody was trying to convince you to do a podcast and you didn't know if it would have any appeal, or did I get the facts wrong on
that? Yeah, what happened was it was my idea to do a podcast, but we had no idea whether it would actually be worth – it would be something that anyone would listen to. You know, I kind of got into podcasts and just because I'm cheap and they're free, and I just thought it was really cool that you could get all the – there's all this free material out there. I didn't even know. I came to this late, like way later than everybody else kind of thing. And I looked up Pro-Life one day just to see if there was other, you know, Pro-Life podcasts, and there was one by an older gentleman who was great content, but it was just not the really, you know – It wasn't quite as fun as you. Let's just say that.
You mean as a fellow older gentleman? You mean?
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're a more fun older guy than this older guy. And it's just my concern was this. My concern was that, you know, there's all these young people we need to be reaching and training, and it's like I don't know how many of them are going to listen, except for the diehards like me.
Yeah, there you go.
Who are just there for the content. And so I thought, gee, and I'm really into. I like, you know, kind of the morning show kind of. Everybody kind of make it
at least remotely interesting,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and kind of fun. And it was just weird to have a show that we're talking about abortion and how to talk about abortion. It seems like a weird thing to try to have fun doing, but it's like, but that's the point. If you're doing this every day, all day, you have to find a way to enjoy yourself.
Yeah,
and so I came out here when I was first hired 3 years ago and said, I've got this idea for a show. And I want to find a couple of young, funny, smart girls that would come on
for the podcast, not personally.
For the podcast. You know, it's this thing of if you have all guys on a pro-life show, then all I'm going to hear from pro-choice people is, oh, it's a bunch of men talking about a woman. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, anytime somebody shows up on TV to get a pro-life perspective, it's always a guy they shove a microphone in front of, isn't it?
Right. And I mean, I just respond. I'm saying the same thing that the pro-life women are saying. What do you say to them? But it's just I just don't want to have to deal with it. So we luckily had a couple of wonderful people that fit that bill. And so we started that, and kind of it was just a huge experiment. We didn't really know if anyone would listen, anyone would pay attention, anyone would care. But we did want to do some things differently. We wanted I always wanted to have pro-choice people listen. And we directed the show that way. We didn't compromise our views, but we take pro-choice people, I think, a little bit more seriously than some other people do. Mm. If you're looking for a show where you're going to hear people make fun of pro-choice people all day, then this is not the show for you.
You mean you don't march out a bunch of slogans and, you know, baby colors and stuff like that?
No.
You know, just build some really great walls there and piss everybody off in the process.
Let's just say if that came in abortion, it would have happened 40 years ago. And so it's just like maybe we need to try to find a new way to do this. And so we want to take pro-choice people seriously, but at the same time, and this is why it's kind of like, you know, how do you get pro-life fans? No one talks more about bad pro-life arguments than we do. Because I've seen pro-choice philosophers that will, as there's several, that will write articles that will say something like, it's good to be pro-choice, we are pro-choice, but don't say, for example, that the unborn are not alive. That's just a dumb, backwards, no one thinks that anymore. So don't say that, you're going to hurt the cause. And there's just not hardly anybody talking about that on the pro-life side. There's a few of the experts that'll, you know, every once in a while they'll throw something out. But it's like I want people to be able to learn from the mistakes of other people. And it really bugs me when I see pro-lifers go out there. It's like they're the ones willing to spend the time and go out there and talk to people. And they accidentally, just because they don't know better, use a terrible argument.
Well, what are some of those things that, in your estimation, are bad arguments for the pro-life cause?
Abortion is wrong because it hurts women. There's all these women that feel all this guilt that sometimes they're physically hurt by abortion. And that's why it's wrong. That's why we need to make it illegal. That's a terrible – and I think all that's true. I think some women are hurt by abortion. I think most women feel guilt at some point in their lives about their abortion. But that's not why it's wrong, and it's not why we should make it illegal. I think cigarette smoking should be illegal, and it hurts women. I think it's good to know that abortion hurts women. I think that's something that I think is more effective talking about for, like, cerebral counselors outside of abortion clinics, where a lot of the women going into, like, a Planned Parenthood, they might just not care that much about the child, but they might care about what this might do to them. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like to throw out, because this is that emotional kind of grab you, you know, think about all the people that could have cured cancer.
More than once since you came in a year ago, Josh, yep. I've gone back to that one, and that stuck with me. It's like, well, what if you were aborting the person that could cure cancer? Or what if you were aborting the next Beethoven? And what was your argument on that one?
I said that argument works both ways. We've also aborted people like Hitler and horrible, horrible other people. And so if you want to – I mean, basically the person is playing into the pro-choice argument. The pro-choice argument is that people's value comes from how they benefit society. Mm. Our argument is that people are all valuable because we're made in God's image, no matter what we do, no matter how much we can help society. Yeah. I mean, newborns can't really help society. They just lay there.
They're pretty worthless, aren't they?
They're pretty. I mean, as far as society goes, they're absolutely worthless unless they're cute.
They stink and they need a lot of attention.
Exactly.
You know?
Their primary function is being needed.
They're just needy. So except for, maybe for those people that are buying cute baby pictures, that's about the only working. So we don't want to make that argument. I've seen pro-choice people kind of just immediately. It's like you've thrown them a soft, like an underhand. You're playing baseball and just one that can hit out of the park.
Well, it's like a microcosm of taking the Christian message to mainstream society. It's like let's fall back on all of the cliches we can possibly find. If we're going to discuss homosexuality, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That's exactly the same thing. All of the cliches.
Or stand at Blackstone and Shaw with a sign that says "Repent," when 98% of the people driving past have no idea what the word "repent" even means. Mm-hmm. How about putting it into language that 21st century people can understand? Right.
And once again, these people are completely pro-life, and they'll have other good arguments. It's just that every once in a while they'll throw these things in. It's like those few bad apples in the fruit you don't want to go.
Yeah.
And then they get crushed, and then those people suddenly are, it's like, they might be angry at God. Why did you let this happen to me, God? That didn't go well. I'm not going to tell anybody I'm pro-life again. I don't want that to happen to anybody. And there's not that many bad pro-life, but we will talk about that stuff, tactics.
Do you ever tick off any pro-life people
who treasure those arguments? Are you kidding me? There's a lot of people that don't want to hear that the arguments they've been using for 30 years are bad, especially from a young punk like me.
And that doesn't bother you that people are offended, does it?
No, it does. No, it just,
you're from the East, aren't you, Josh?
No, I'm actually a California guy.
Oh, California.
Why do I think you're
from the East?
I was in Georgia for 6 years. That's where I started.
Doesn't Josh kind of have an Eastern persona to him, kind of like an edgy New Jersey, New York kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's good to know. Yeah. I guess it's the first time I've heard that,
maybe you're from Eastern California. What part of California are you from?
Sacramento.
Well, there you go. Wow. They're smaller
than
Fresno. Sacramento
is right in the middle, though, if you look at on the map. They're
the navel of California.
Yeah. So having said that, I have gotten pro-lifers that get frustrated. In fact, I had a gal. We're going to talk about this on a show coming up pretty soon. There's a gal posted on our YouTube channel. She was concerned. She said, you talk about bad pro-life arguments, and I think you're giving ammo to the pro-choice people to use to beat up on the pro-lifers. And my response to her was that I agree in the sense that if there's a pro-choice that somehow has never heard these arguments and wouldn't have figured out why they're dumb on their own, which I doubt, then, okay, I've given them some ammo if they meet up with one of those pro-lifers. However, I have about 1,000 pro-life listeners on the web right now. I've got about 5 pro-choicers that I know of that listen to every show. So I think, and just from the numbers game, I win. I've helped a lot more pro-lifers than I've helped pro-choice people. And in the end, I have just the pro-choice people like the idea of you taking it seriously. And that's why they're willing to listen to every single episode, because they're just, it's just a perspective they haven't heard before, and so we want to provide something
you,
new.
You brought in the flyer for your podcast. You've got a quote from Matt at the bottom. Matt says, "I'm actually pro-choice, but I think you guys are the most intelligent and affable pro-lifers on the air."
Yeah, getting quotes like that is one of the favorite things about my job, because it's like, as we actually ended up being able to do that. And I've had very lengthy email exchanges with some of the pro-choice people that listen, or they hear, or they want, and they'll email me, whereas they wouldn't have emailed some guy that they saw on the street yelling baby killer with a sign.
Well, that doesn't exactly open the channels of discussion. That basically says, I'm right, you're wrong, you're scum, and you deserve to die.
Yeah.
Well, and how I'm sorry, Ken. No. How is that loving people when that's what we're called by Christ to do, is to love people, and that's how he would have engaged in dialogue with someone,
even with those lousy sinners,
with anyone like that, and he would have loved them, and he would have made an attempt to engage in relationship with them, and not just slam them with his words and knock them down.
Yeah, in fact, I'll actually expand on that. The people that he was the harshest to were the religious folk of the day, which would be kind of like some of the pro-lifers that get very angry at me. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, as though God were speaking through us. And so what we're talking about on the show, not just bad pro-life arguments, but how do we do that? What does that mean in the real world? That means that you're listening to people to understand them, not just listening to the auditory noise coming out of their face long enough so you know when to jump in and beat up their argument.
Yeah.
That's not listening.
Yeah, I know everybody's guilty of this at one time or another. I know I have been and still am, where you're not really listening to what somebody's saying. You're formulating your next response.
Exactly. We should be listening to people the way that we wish our parents had listened to us.
Mm. Or that we hope to be listened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's that
do
under others kind of thing. Or listen the way that, you know, hopefully, you know, we listen to our kids and that our kids listen to us. And so really listening to understand, basically. And that is that's just a different than, this is not just a debate show. We're going to actually try to understand people. And then I think that helps us to respond to them more effectively.
What you're saying is it's not right-wing talk radio where you generate a lot of...
If you're looking for a Rush Limbaugh type that just...
A lot of smoke and a lot of noise. You know, there may be a lot of truth in what's there, but at the same time, it's just, you know, the yelling and, you know, the entertainment value. No, exactly. You know, it's like Kim said, that's the Jesus way, is you connect with people, you communicate with them. Right. You disagree, sure, but you can still... You know, go out for coffee afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And so instead of, you know, the entertainment value being that we're going to make fun of pro-choice people and get a lot of pro-lifers laughing at that, which we could do, I just think that's dumb. Instead, we have fun with each other. We banter around. We'll call each other idiots whenever we do something stupid because we're terrible at this still. And so it started as this experiment that we just didn't know if this would work. And then it ended up, luckily, pretty quickly succeeding. We have listeners in 5 out of 7 continents that and somehow there's a guy, this is the one that amazes me the most, guy in China is able to get to our website, which, you know, the way that the internet is in China, I'm not really sure how he's pulling it off, but there is a guy in China getting onto our website. So as soon as we get some listeners in South America and Antarctica, we'll be able to...
Okay, now, I do an internet thing, too. I've got South America covered, but I'm still, to this day, 10 years later...
I need to get that guy. If you're in South America listening right now...
Oh, there's more than one guy.
Right now, okay. Anyone listening.
But still...
I'm getting this guy. In South America... ProLifePodcast.net.
You'll like this. On my internet broadcast in the last month, I had somebody from Vatican City tune in.
Oh, talk to these guys need to be listening to my show too. Okay. So ProLifePodcast.net. You'll love
it. But just like you, I've yet to have one single soul tune in from Antarctica.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the hardest one, and we have laughed about that. I mean, who is in Antarctica?
I know, that's probably...
And do they have internet? I don't know.
I know. I know there's like scientific outposts there and a lot of penguins. I'm assuming, are there penguins in Antarctica?
I think so.
Okay, March of the Penguins.
I'm not going to say, because I always screw this up when I start getting to polar bears and penguins, and I always sound dumb.
Like
we need the scientists to download the episodes and then go to Antarctica and they listen while they're
there. There you go. Maybe that's it. Yeah. Where can you find this podcast? I should probably tell the world where you can find it. ProLifePodcast.net. I'm popping my microphone.
I know,
here.
Right? I know.
I'm throwing away 28 years of broadcast training. Pro-Life Podcast. It's prolifepodcast.net, prolifepodcast.net. Or go to YouTube and put in the words Life Report, and you'll find them there.
Yep.
So basically, you have the audio and the video of every recording session.
Yeah, and so that's the new thing, is that about a year ago, a large, a very generous person came to us and said, we want to see this go to the next level. And so we said, well, TV. So we actually built a fully functional, cutting-edge HD TV studio in our office.
Right there in Fresno.
Right there in Fresno.
Wow.
And it took us 9 months to get it done, and get it done right, and for the you know, as cheaply as possible, or as inexpensively as possible. And now it's going to be a weekly show on KNXT.
That's right. It's coming up right around the corner. When does that begin?
We're premiering on January 19th. It's going to be every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. And then also it'll rerun every Thursday morning at 8:30 a.m. And that's anywhere around here. It'll be Channel 49, I think.
Channel 49, yeah. So, I'm sorry, Wednesday evenings at
10 p.m.
At 10 o'clock. And then Thursday mornings at 8:30
a.m. In the morning. That's right. And then the hope is that, I mean, we'll do that for a little while, make sure that we've got everything working well for TV, and then I'm going to try to branch this out. I want to go to EWTN. I want to go to all the other, you know, any TV station in the country that does religious programming that right now is looking. I'll tell you what they're looking for. They're looking for young content.
Mm.
They're looking for ways to get, because you've got a lot of older people that will watch these channels,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have very many young people.
Right.
And I think part of that has to do with the way they do their programming. And so mm-hmm. we will offer, instead of, not to make fun of them too much, but just, you know, instead of the, let's just say, the stereotypical, we're not sitting on gold thrones staring at the camera talking to you. This is kind of a more voyeuristic.
You just described some of Christian broadcasting.
I'm sorry.
There.
It's just, but this is the problem. If we all get better, then we're going to get more young people, and that's what everybody wants. Instead, this is a very more voyeuristic. You're seeing us record a radio show,
yeah.
and you get to kind of watch
yeah.
it. We're going to be live streaming on the web for people that want to actually
be typing
questions and comments to us while we shoot. You'll be part of the show. Just finding new ways to do this.
Yeah, no, wow. I love that. I love the whole organic. I mean, I go out and produce radio programs. I record Bruce Hood from Feed My Sheep Ministries out there, and we do it in coffee places, and you can hear the jazz music playing. Yeah. You can hear people rattling dishes.
Yeah.
I love it because it's alive and it's real, you know, and just I'm into the whole organic thing, you know.
It's a new way to do it.
I'm not into stereotypical religious broadcasting.
No. Well, there's some wonderful religious programming. I mean, I listen to religious programming.
Do you listen to KRDU?
I have listened to KRDU, and not just when I'm on. I've heard KRDU. You know, people like Focus on the Family, you know, has great programming, Stand to Reason. I don't know if you guys run Greg Kuchel's show.
Uh-oh, we don't air that.
Well, you should be. It's, you know, wonderful Christian apologetics. So I listen to Christian programming, but then every once in a while, I'll turn to either a radio or a TV station, and you just kind of cringe a little bit, and you just like, there's got to be better ways that we can do this.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a money issue.
In some cases, it's that we've been doing it this way since 1956. Mm-hmm. Why should we change now? Hello, is this the same world as it was in 1956?
Yeah.
No.
Find me any other channel on TV or any other radio station that does things the way they did it in 1956. You won't find it. And so I think we got to kind of take a look. We're in the world, not of it. And so I'm looking at not just Christian programming. I've based my show on not really any Christian programming. I've based it on several secular programs that I've seen.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, they're really good at that.
Yeah.
And these guys are really good at that. And these guys are the most popular people ever. So it's like, so kind of bringing that in and just see kind of what happens.
We talked about it earlier, speaking to somebody in the language they can understand to get a dialogue going, and we can't do it if we're doing Christian speak on gold thrones with 1950s technology. Kim, did any of the invalid pro-life arguments that Josh brought up a while ago, did any of them rattle you at all? Or had you already decided that they weren't really valid arguments?
Yeah,
or,
I don't. I think they're conversation killers.
Hmm.
You know? Yeah. That we need to be open to dialogue. We are, and we need to act like intelligent people who God gave a brain and a passion for things.
It's learning how to sum up your case in a more effective way. And so we're teaching people, you know, because you know this. People need to learn how to talk in sound bites. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to give a 30-minute explanation of why humans are valuable from conception. It's hard to do that in 20 seconds, but this is what we teach people to do. And it's not original. A smarter guy than me came up with this. But if you want to sum up your – I'll tell people. I'll be on a college campus. They'll be, why are you pro-life? I'll say, I'll tell you in 10 seconds why I'm pro-life. And they won't even believe me, but this is what I'll say.
Okay. I'm going to be counting here.
Here we go. I believe the unborn are alive because they're growing. That we know that the unborn are human because they have human parents, and human beings like you and me are valuable, aren't they?
Almost exactly 10 seconds.
And then they stare at me so impressed that I did what I promised. I say, can I have another 10? And this is what this might be 15, but this is what I say. In the long set history of the human race, we have discriminated against people because of their gender, because of their skin color, because of where they're from. I think now we discriminate against people because of their size, their level of development, their environment, and their degree of dependency. And we've simply exchanged one form of discrimination for another. That's the way you want to sum up your pro-life view. You don't want to sum it up by saying, well, Psalm 139 says that God knit us in our mother's womb. And Jeremiah 1:5 says this, and the Ten Commandments say this.
Which means a lot to people that, A, are unsaved, and B, have never cracked a Bible.
I mean, I remember I was on a college campus one time, and there were a lot of pro-lifers there doing an exhibit. A lot of dialogue was going on, and I had already written some stuff on stem cell research. And so when stem cell research came up, sometimes people were bringing them to me to talk to me about stem cell. And someone had brought a couple of young girls that were asking about it. And so I gave kind of maybe a 3 to 5 minute kind of stem cell 101. You know, this is the different types of stem cell research, and this is why I'm against killing human beings for their body parts. Did not use one Bible verse. And I'm a Christian. I can make a biblical case against abortion and stem cell research. I chose not to. Meanwhile, there's this dude off to the side just watching, very silent. He's not entering in. He's just listening the entire time, and he's fine. As soon as I finish my 3 to 5 minute spiel, one of the girls asks, are you a Christian? And I said, and I quote, yes, but notice I did not use one Bible verse to make my case against embryonic stem cell research. As soon as I said yes, the dude goes, huh, and storms off like I'm this idiot that believes in this 2,000-year-old book that was written by guys that heard voices in their head. And it's just, we are discriminated against as much as anybody else. And so I
thought you were intelligent up to that point.
You seem so smart until obviously I was mistaken, kind of. He believes in the Bible. And so this is, you know, I've talked to pro-choice Christians, and I've got a list of 83 verses I can give them. The Bible is very pro-life, and we can make a solid logical argument with it. But if you're talking to an atheist, I mean, there would be like a Muslim person coming to you and pulling out the Quran and saying, this is why you have 72 virgins waiting you in heaven. You'd be like, dude, I don't believe in that book. That doesn't mean anything to me. And they don't try that. That's not their evangelistic approach. And so, you know, I don't know why we would do that with pro-choice people that don't believe in the Bible.
Wow.
That makes a lot of sense.
But a lot of people freak out. What are you? Are you saying the Bible's not important? Not at all. I'm just saying you need to, you know, consider your audience.
Yeah. Well, if I can be a little gauche, pearls before swine, you know.
Yeah.
If they can't appreciate the eternal truths in Scripture, then, you know, if you're developing an argument on pro-life issues, that's what I'm talking about.
See, I've actually found that sometimes, and this is the caveat I give people that kind of freak out a little bit about the idea of not using Bible, because some people, that's the only pro-life argument they've ever made is Psalm 139, basically.
Or when they don't even quote a scripture. Why is abortion wrong? Because the Bible says so.
Yeah. Right. And so that when they get upset, this is what I will tell them to maybe help them feel a little bit better, and this is true, is that I've had lots of conversations with people that start off talking about pro-life and then go deeper. Because once you go, after, you know, an hour and a half of talking about this, you start talking about things like deeper questions like, why are human beings valuable in the first place? Not just the unborn ones. What about the born ones? Why are we valuable? And I have not yet heard a very good atheist answer to that question. Like, why are humans more valuable than animals? I've heard people try, but usually what they do is they just assume it. They just say, well, everyone agrees that were more valuable, which is true. Almost everybody does, but everybody could be wrong. And I've heard people, I've had people stare at me straight in the face, and I believe they were telling the truth when they said, I do believe that some animals are more valuable than humans, especially if you think that human value is derived from like sentience or being self-aware. Well, that means that dolphins, gorillas, and chimpanzees are more valuable than newborns, some disabled humans. And so I've had people start – so it's like not everyone agrees. And so – but, you know, and I've had a guy, okay, well, why do you think that human beings are more valuable? And this is what I'll say. There's this guy 2,000 years ago that walked out of his own tomb. I believe what he says. And he gives me a reason to think that. It has to do with – it's called the image of God, and it tells us about this in Genesis. This is kind of what that means. It means that we're more valuable than animals. Now, I understand – and I'll tell him, look, that's a biblical argument. I understand. I'm literally – that is coming from my religion, and that's where it's coming from. Can you give me a reason from your religion or not religion for the same thing? Because I've just grounded my views, and I've not heard an atheist yet really ground those views without just assuming, well, everybody kind of thinks it. Wow. So these turn into possibly religious discussions. I know people have come to the cross in conversations that started talking about pro-life. So it's not like I'm never going to bring the Bible into it or bring God into it. I think actually there's a place for that.
Sure.
It's just not usually my opener.
Yeah, yeah. You find the right time and place for it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, since you've been doing the podcast and you've been videoing the podcast, yep. I would never know if that's a right word or not.
I don't think so.
How you've been
I'm just guessing that it's not.
You've been
ahead.
Streaming the video of the podcast in addition to streaming the audio of the podcast.
Nice.
Josh Bromp, thank you. Thank you very much. That's
well
why they pay
done.
Me the big money.
I know.
How will the program on 49 differ from what you've been doing so far?
The main difference is that we have to be shorter. We didn't used to have any time constraints because we could just kind of – we usually kind of average about 45-minute episodes.
As George Carlin used to talk about the difference between football and baseball. Football, you know, there will be an end even if there's sudden death. Baseball, we don't know when it's going to end.
Believe it or not, we spent 2 episodes talking about George Carlin. Because he did a 9-minute rant against pro-lifers, and we actually pulled clips and responded
oh, really?
To them. If that's not culturally relevant, then I don't know what it
I
is.
I love it. Okay,
you're right. So suddenly we had to go to we're at a 28-minute, 50-second format. It's got to be exact for TV.
Okay.
And so that's the – so we have like countdown timers in our studio that we use to keep track of time and the kind of things that you have going.
Okay.
That's the main – I mean the other main difference is it's video. It suddenly looks cool. We're not in this ugly library like we were before. Now we're in a cool-looking studio.
It's not an ugly library.
Exactly. That's the new studio.
I'm holding up the flyer.
We used to be in an ugly library.
Okay, an ugly library.
Now we've made that studio that you're looking at.
Okay, I guess that's not ugly.
Pictures, go to Pro Life Podcast.
That's a thing of beauty, all of that broadcasting equipment there. So the –
nerds like me and you like really get into this. Look at the microphones.
The sound geeks.
The lights.
I know. I see the mixers when the magazines come. Look at that. I love
it's
one
pretty.
Of those.
They flash.
Look at the pretty lights. It's silver.
Oh, they do cool things.
What is the name of the program on KNXT Channel 49?
It's called Life Report.
Life
Pro
Report.
Life Talk, Real World Answers.
Oh, just like on the flyer you gave me.
Exactly.
Life
there's
Report.
A reason for that.
Life Report. What a coincidence. That's what's on here. Life Report, Pro Life Talk, Real World Answers. And that debuts on January 19th. And it'll be airing every Wednesday evening at 10 and every Thursday morning at 8:30.
And if people want to access the show at any time, it's prolifepodcast.net. We now have 110 episodes, I think, that are published right now.
Wow.
You can always go back. Those episodes won't be on TV in the future. So
okay.
if you really like this approach, then is that including
the George Carlin one?
That includes the George Carlin ones. If you're interested in that, go back to episodes. I think it's 25 and 26
okay.
or so.
I'd like to hear that myself.
You can always just do a search for George Carlin, and they will come up. And we got some interesting responses on
George,
YouTube.
George was brilliant as a comedian and an observational comic, but, man, he just hated religion, didn't he?
Really, really hated religion and hated pro-life people. And most of his rant was just kind of ad hominem attacks, although he did have a few actual arguments he made, and we responded to those arguments.
Good. Wow. That's brave. So, on the broadcast on 49, after the broadcast on air, is that going to be available online too?
Yeah. In fact, usually the episodes will actually be available online before they go up on KNXT, just with the production schedule that we have. But those will always be available. You can also download the audio-only ones if you just don't care about seeing the pretty studio we spent 9 months building.
Come on, you want to see, put a face with the voice of Josh
Braum.
You
should watch at least one video just to see what it looks like. But honestly, 90% of her audience right now only listens to the audio.
Wow.
I've got a lot of pastors that listen in their car kind of a thing, and a lot of people listen on their iPods, and that's fine. We don't have very high YouTube numbers because of that, but that's okay. Whatever works for you, every single episode will have an audio only and a video just kind of watching on YouTube.
Now, the KNXT ones, they're not posted yet, are they?
Some of them are and some of them are not. We are almost done with the first 8 episodes that are going to be on KNXT. It's a really strange production schedule. It's almost too convoluted to talk about, but like half of them are on the website right now that will be on KNXT, and half of them are going to be put on in the
future. That's at prolifepodcast.net.
Everything you can find at prolifepodcast.net.
Again, that'll be on KNXT Channel 49 or wherever it appears on your cable system, emanating out of the city of Fresno. Kim, you grew up in Southern California. You remember the call letters KNXT?
Yeah.
It used to be Channel 2 down in L.A.
You know, I didn't even know this until we started, having regular meetings with their production team. It's a really unique station. They're the only in the country fully, operational, kind of independent station. They've got their own, the big dishes and everything. And most Catholic stations are actually running through, some other station, and they pay for that privilege. And someone a long time ago, actually paid to, create an entire studio. So there's a really good place to start this as a test. And then hopefully expand. Good. Also, if you want to find us, there's this website, you may have heard of it, called, as my mom says, thefacebook.com. If you're interested.
that was their old name.
They're on that interweb,
You can find us on the internet, and you can search for me and become my friend. I've got over 1,000 pro-life friends or people I don't know, but they're pro-life.
I've got more than 700, quote, friends on there.
Yeah.
Probably about 8.5 I talk to on a regular basis.
Right.
But yeah, just the... Are you the only Josh Braum on the Facebook?
I think there's one other guy, but I'm the guy that I have a microphone in front of me and the studio behind me, so it's kind of easy to tell.
Look
that
for the mic in the studio.
That's a studio guy.
Josh Braum, B-R-A-H-M, like Braum's Lullaby, but no S at the end.
That's exactly it.
Okay, he won't, unlike Braum's Lullaby, he will not put you to sleep.
I hope not, and I really need to use that sometime. I've never said that, but that's actually pretty good.
That's
look
a good
at you.
Tagline for you.
Josh Braum, the guy that won't put you to sleep. That's good.
That's excellent.
That's going to be in a new intro one day. Okay. Life Report Pro Life Talk.
Would you like me to record that for you?
You should. You should totally do it. I won't have to pay my other voiceover guy to do it.
I work cheap.
We'll do it.
You got a voiceover guy?
Yeah, we got a voiceover guy.
And you pay him?
Cool. Yeah.
What? Come on.
I knew this guy long before I knew you. I knew him from Georgia, and I was just that guy's got an awesome voice.
Okay. So. All right. I can accept that then. Josh Braum, Director of Education and much of the Public Relations at Right to Life of Central California in Fresno. You can reach him by phone at 229-BABY. That's the numbers 229-2229. Pretty simple to remember. 229-2229.
We got to spell it out just for those people that are still using the rotary phones that don't have the, you get a scrolling back and they don't have the letters on the numbers.
Does anybody still have any rotary phones out there?
I don't think so. It was kind of supposed to be funny, but it wasn't that funny. So that happens on my show a lot.
Slimline Prince's phone.
Where's the cricket sound effect? You need the crickets there.
Give me a chance to go to my production library and I'll edit it in.
It's going
to
be there.
Okay.
Then they're going to be like, why is he talking about the crickets now? We already heard the crickets.
I forgot to ask, are you going to be hosting it all by yourself or do you have a co-host?
On the show, we have three regular. I mean, I've got two co-hosts.
I'm the host,
but we've got two co-hosts. Just because I'm the one that does all the work, and we've got special guests that come on every once in a while. So we've got a special guest that comes on as post-abortive. So when we have shows about post-abortive women, we bring her on. We've got kind of occasional special experts. We've got a political expert guy, my boss, that comes on every once in a while or other people around the country that we'll have in the studio.
Okay.
But mainly it's three people That, and that's why it can be more fun. You can, there's no way to do this really fun when you're just on your own.
Laughing
at your own jokes.
Oh, I know. I know.
I
know.
It doesn't work. So we need a bunch of people bantering.
It's got to be organic. You got to have the chemistry working there.
Bantering.
All right. Josh Brom all over the place. Find him on the Facebook. He's the Josh Brom with the microphone in front of him. And you can find Right to Life of Central California, RTLCC.org, stands for Right to Life Central California.
Well done.
RTLCC.org, or again, that number 229-BABY, B-A-B-Y, if you're spelling it out on your rotary telephone.
Right. It's not B-A-B-I-E. You will not get to us if you try
Baby, yeah.
If you spell it wrong.
Well, yeah, B-A-B-Y, 229-2229. Anything we haven't covered in our potpourri of information?
People really ought to go to this website called ProLifePodcast.net. It's
ProLifePodcast.net.
Really
cool. Yeah. Connect with that guy in China.
I mean, we could do this for hours. We the three of us could just sit in here and have a lot of fun for hours. It's really sad that whenever you got to see them come to a close, but this is radio. And
it's radio. Well, you know, if you come back more often, April Kesterson, executive director of Tulare Kings Right to Life, comes in four times a year. She was just in here last week.
I know. And
I get to see
you
like once a year. I get to see you.
So how about you come back in April, Josh?
Okay, let's do it. We'll set up a time and we'll come down. I won't even have something prepared. We'll just talk about stuff.
I know.
That
isn't that what we do every time we come in?
Pretty
we talk
much.
About stuff.
Pretty much.
Oh, so, I'm sure Josh was prepared to come in here.
Oh,
today.
Yeah.
I had to do is memorize the dates, like the January 19th thing. I had to commemorate that. But everything else,
you had a few scripture addresses, too. So obviously that's
That stuff you just learn when you're in the pro-life movement for a long time.
It's part of the training. All right. Josh Brom, Director of Education and Media Superstar.
That is my new title. That's going on my new business card. I like it. And then under that, in quotes, the guy that won't put you to sleep. I love this.
There you go.
Brahms lullaby won't put you to sleep. Okay. Bless you, sir. Safe trip back to Fresno.
You as well. Thank you.
And we'll see you in April.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kim.
Oh, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Josh. It was a pleasure to meet you and banter with you, and I look forward to seeing you in April.
Can't wait.
Good.
And thank you, listener, for listening and making all of this possible on KRDU 1130.